Welcome back to our study of Deuteronomy. We are in chapter 2 and we're picking up with verse 5. And we're going to be reading about the children of Esau. Their instruction was, meddle not with them, for I will not give you of their land. No, not so much as a footbreadth, because I have given Mount Seir unto Esau for a possession.
And so, as we mentioned before the break, you know, you stay in your territory, and what God gives to someone else, don't you try to take over that or tell them how to run it. You treat them with respect.
You shall buy meat of them for money that you may eat, and you shall also buy water of them for money that you may drink.
In other words, if you cross the land, you pay your way. And, I mean, there's a ton of principle in that. You know, I used to work secular work for years before I went in ministry. And actually, I wasn't living for God at the time. And it used to amuse us. Preachers would come in and want all these special discounts and all this type of thing. And, you know, if out of the goodness of your heart you want to do that, that's fine and well. But you have to understand that a business is a business. And they're there to make a profit. That's how they make their living. And to come in and demand, and this was sort of the way it is, well, I'm a preacher and you're supposed to give me a discount. Mm-hmm. That always turned me off. Okay? No, you be content, and when you need something done, don't be afraid to, don't think you're better than other people to where you don't pay your way. Even though Israel was God's chosen people, God had not neglected Esau. He had given them that land. And so don't go in and just take their stuff and say, well, I'm God's chosen people. Well, as ministers, we don't have that right either. We pay our way, you understand?
Verse 7, for the Lord thy God hath blessed thee in all the works of thy hand. He knoweth thy walking through this great wilderness these 40 years. The Lord thy God hath been with thee. Thou hast lacked nothing.
So Moses is reminding them, now, for the past 40 years, you wandered in the wilderness. But even at that, in your rebellion, you think about this. In the rebellion, those 40 years, God supernaturally provided for them. The psalmist talks about their feet didn't swell, their clothes didn't wear out. I mean, that's pretty incredible how God supernaturally fed them with manna from heaven for 40 years, even in their rebellion. And I just tell people, don't ever mistake the blessing of God for the approval of God. God did not approve of them not obeying him. But God didn't just take vengeance out on them and write them off. He kept his covenant agreement. And he took care of the descendants of Abraham, even in the rebellion.
Yeah.
They didn't lack anything. God blessed the work of their hands. Well, he's honoring his covenant. God's a covenant-keeping God.
And when we passed by from our brethren, the children of Esau, which dwelt in Seir, through the way of the plain of Eleth, and from Ezon Geber, we turned and passed by the way of the wilderness of Moab.
So they turned and followed the wilderness road to Moab. You're again moving by the direction of God. Not meddling with Esau, okay, or Esau's descendants.
And the Lord said unto me, distress not the Moabites, neither contend with them in battle, For I will not give thee of their land for a possession, because I have given Ar unto the children of Lot for a possession.
Now here again, God's keeping his word. Lot, remember him, the nephew of Abraham? And even though Lot had this nation that had been birthed out of incest, Lot with his daughter, the Ammonites and the Moabites, okay, two daughters, God still honored them, and he gave them a possession, and he told the Israelites, that's theirs, don't contend with them in battle, because the land that they're in was given to them by God. And so don't mess with that. And he gave this, Ar, as it's called, to the descendants of Lot as a possession.
Verse 10. The Emans dwelt therein in times past, a people great and many and tall, as the Anakims, which also were accounted giants, as the Anakims, but the Moabites called them Emans.
So these are giants, and they were occupying the land. God gave this land to the Moabites, and the Moabites drove these people out of the land, and they, instead of calling them sons of Anak, they called them Emams, for whatever reason, okay?
Okay. Verse 12, the Horims also dwelt in Seir before time, but the children of Esau succeeded them when they had destroyed them from before them, and dwelt in their stead, as Israel did unto the land of his possession, which the Lord gave unto them.
Now note this, the Horites had previously occupied Seir, and then descendants of Saul destroyed them and took possession of the land, just as the Lord did to the land that he gave to the Israelites on the east side of the Jordan. Now, I want you to think about this. You see a pattern here? God has given to Esau possession.
Mm-hmm.
They had to drive the enemy out. God's given to Lot's descendants, Moab, possession. They have to drive the enemy out. And on the east side of the Jordan, there the Israelites drove the enemy out and took their territory. They didn't want to do that on the west side. God had given them the land, but you have an obligation. You got to drive the enemy out of the land. Just remember, just because God gives you something doesn't mean it's automatic. You have to drive the enemy out.
Yeah.
You understand? We talked about occupied territory.
Yeah.
Occupied territory means somebody's there.
Yeah.
And so God says, all right, I'm giving you this land. You don't say, well, somebody else is there. You drive them out. And you don't allow squatters to come in on your land. You drive them out. You understand? That's basically what Israel's doing today. It's their land.
Mm-hmm.
God gave it to them.
Right. Now rise up, said I, and get you over the brook Zered. And we went over the brook Zered.
So he did as the Lord commanded him, right?
Mm-hmm.
What's he doing? He's leading the children of Israel. Even after they've rebelled, God is still faithful to lead them where they need to go. God knows where the provision is for them. God knows where the provision is for you. And you have to go there. I think of Elijah when he called for a famine, and God told him to go to the brook Cherith. And he said, there I have commanded. I have commanded. I've already told the ravens where to take your food. So if you want the food, you're going to have to go to where the ravens are taking it. You follow me? And everybody has that place that they're supposed to be. God has a place for your provision. But if you don't go into that place that God wants you to be, you're not going to enjoy your provision. You follow me?
Mm-hmm. In the space in which we came from Kadesh Barnea until we were come over the brook Zered was 38 years, until all the generation of the men of war were wasted out among the host, as the Lord sware unto them.
Now, remember I said earlier, and this is the scripture, that the whole army, for 38 years, that whole army that refused to go into the land, except Joshua and Caleb, had died off. They still had two more years there in the wilderness, even after the army died off, mm-hmm. You understand? But in 38 years, all these men of war that had refused to go in no longer existed. They destroyed the entire army, except for Joshua and Caleb. Praise to listen to the Lord and do what the Lord says to do. I believe there's a lot of people that wander around the wilderness because they don't want to pay the price to do what God wants them to do. Fear keeps them from doing what God wants them to do. They're afraid of the people. Well, if I do this, the people may leave. I've had that said to me, my pastor. Well, if I do this, the people may leave. I said, well, they're not with you anyway. If I can't do what God's told me to do with the people we have, then the people we have are not with me. They're not sharing the vision. You understand? And we've got to stay true to the vision of God and do what God tells us to do. Then we get into the provision of God.
For indeed the hand of the Lord was against them to destroy them from among the host until they were consumed. So it came to pass, when all the men of war were consumed and dead from among the people, that the Lord spoke unto me, saying, Thou art to pass over through Ar, the coast of Moab, this day.
So now the Lord tells him, you cross over the border of Moab at Ar. Here again, strategically leading him.
And when thou comest nigh over against the children of Ammon, distress them not, nor meddle with them, for I will not give thee of the land of the children of Ammon any possession, because I have given it unto the children of Lot for a possession.
Now here again, this is the other daughter of Lot, her descendants, Lot's descendants, the Ammonites. And so God says, that territory is theirs. You can't have that territory. And so they were to treat them respectfully and honor the fact that God had given them that land.
That also was accounted for a land of giants. Giants dwelt therein in old time, and the Ammonites called them Zamzumans, a people great and many and tall, as the Anakims. But the Lord destroyed them before them, and they succeeded them and dwelt in their stead, as he did to the children of Esau, which dwelt in Seir, when he destroyed the Horims from before them, and they succeeded them and dwelt in their stead even to this day, and the Avims, which dwelt in Hazarim, even unto Azda, to Caphtorims, which came forth from Caphtor, destroyed them and dwelt in their stead.
Now, here again, I'll remind you of the pattern. God's given the land to Israel, go possess it. God gave the land to Esau, go possess it. God gave the land to Moab, go possess it. God gave the land to Ammon, go possess it. Every one of them had enemies in the land. Now, the interesting thing about it is the giants.
Yeah.
Esau overcame the giants. Moab overcame the giants. Ammon overcame the giants. But Israel didn't want to go up against the giants. That generation, it kept them out. You know, the best I can see it is we're supposed to be giant slayers. You understand? We're not supposed to be afraid of them. If God has given us the territory, then take the territory. See, they had the Zamzumans there in this land. What did they do? They drove them out, just like Esau drove them out, Moab drove them out. God gave them the land, but there was something they had to do. We think if God has a promise, it's just automatic, mm-hmm. and all we do is just sit in our armchair and everything's smooth sailing. It's not that way at all. Is it worth fighting for? And drive the enemy out. What are you fighting? The good fight of faith. You believe God more than you believe what you see. If God says the land's yours, okay, the land's mine. If the land's mine, then these people are trespassing, so they have to go. And that's how you have to view the enemy. God's given you something, the devil's trespassing, you drive the enemy out. In the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Okay.
Just thinking about how we all have our own giants.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody has their own giant to face. But how Jesus even told us, you know, you say to this mountain, if you've got faith and you say to this mountain, that mountainous giant standing right in front of you, you have faith, it'll move.
He tells us that all things are possible to those who believe. But the possibilities to the believer, not the unbeliever, not the doubter.
Our God is bigger than any giant that stands before us. Help me. 24. Thank you. Rise up, take your journey, and pass over the river Arnon. Behold, I have given into thine hand Sihon, the Amorite king of Heshbon, and his land, begin to possess it, and contend with him in battle. This day will I begin to put the dread of thee and the fear of thee upon the nations that are under the whole heaven, who shall hear report of thee, and shall tremble, and be in anguish because of thee.
Now remember, he's given a recount, so this is a generation of soldiers that have already died that defeated Sihon, you understand? And so now the Lord is telling them, they're on the east side of Jordan, they haven't crossed over, and the Lord's telling Moses, all right, now I want you to go in and take Sihon, the Amorite king of Heshbon, and his lands. He said, engage him in battle. Defeat him. Take his land. And he said, when you do, then the dread and fear of you is going to come on all the nation under heaven who's heard what you've done. So when they crossed, when they got up to the promised land, those people were afraid. But isn't it amazing how the Israelites let fear dominate them to where they were afraid of the ones God had given them the victory over, and consequently, they didn't take the victory. They got defeated when they did try after they weren't supposed to. You with me? No, when you do what God says, he said, all right, today I'm going to put the fear of God in, basically. I'm telling you, if Christians would understand, born-again believers would understand, the devil's afraid of you. But it's amazing to me how many Christians are afraid of the devil. I mean, I've had them to tell me, I'm not going to do that. I'm afraid of what he might do to me. Greater is he who's in you than he who's in the world. You know what that means? You haven't recognized his defeat. Isn't it amazing how we fear one who has been defeated?
Hmm.
Jesus has won the battle. He's just telling us to declare the victory. No. Take authority over. Don't succumb to the temptations and the intimidation of the devil. But you stand up and take your ground. You speak the truth. You don't let the world intimidate you. Well, I'm offended. Well, that's your problem, buddy. If Jesus Christ offends you, I'm not backing down from Jesus Christ. Then you go into a territory where he's not. This is his. And you drive the enemy out. You follow me? You have to be more tenacious than the devil. Isn't it amazing how committed the devil is to doing evil, and yet the righteous don't want to do righteous?
Hmm.
We've got to commit ourselves to the Lord.
It's almost like there are people that have more respect for the devil than they do the King of Kings and the
Creator
Lord of Lords.
God.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
I want to draw your attention to Joshua chapter 2, verse 9. Speaking of, and I want you to see the correlation between this 25th verse in Deuteronomy 2, how the Lord said, "This day I will begin to put the dread of thee and the fear of thee upon the nations that are under the whole heaven, who shall hear report of you and shall tremble and be in anguish because of you." Do you remember Jericho, and you remember the account of Rahab? You remember what Rahab told the spies? Look at verse 9. "And she said unto the men, I know that the Lord has given you the land, and that your terror is fallen upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you." So what the Lord says comes to pass. Amen. Verse 26. "And I sent messengers out of the wilderness of Kedemoth unto Sihon, king of Heshbon, with the words of peace, saying, Let me pass through thy land. I will go along by the highway. I will neither turn unto the right hand nor to the left. Thou shalt sell me meat for money that I may eat, and give me water for money that I may drink. Only I will pass through on my feet."
Now, this interests me because even though God has told Moses to take that land, to engage him in the battle, the approach is interesting because Sihon has the opportunity to yield.
Mm-hmm.
Moses is asking permission to go through his land, and he's assuring him they'll stay on the road, they'll purchase the food, the water that they drink along the way, and we'll do for you like we did for the Esau's descendants at Seir and the Moabites in Ar. We'll do like they've done. We'll do to them. Well, I mean, we'll do for you like we did for them. And said, until we cross the Jordan River and possess the land that the Lord's given you. So Sihon has the opportunity to allow them to cooperate. But he doesn't do it.
Hmm.
It's amazing how judgment's always executed with a mercy. All right, I'll let you do this. You don't want to? All right, you had your opportunity.
Mm-hmm. Picking up with verse 30. "But Sihon, king of Heshbon, would not let us pass by him. For the Lord thy God hardened his spirit and made his heart obstinate, that he might deliver him into thy hand, as appeareth this day."
So don't call that predestination. Don't say that he didn't have a chance. He does. He's just obstinate. He's in his pride. And his pride blinds him. And where it says the Lord hardened his spirit and made his heart stubborn, it's the same principle as Pharaoh to bring judgment upon Egypt. Pharaoh's heart's hardened. To bring judgment upon Sihon and his land, his heart's hardened, and so he's delivered into the hands of the Israelites. It's not just a one-time event. I mean, you know, people lead up to the point of no return.
Mm-hmm.
And there's people that are just absolutely anti-Christ, anti-God. And so God would use them to destroy their land. He would use their pride against them. You understand?
And the Lord said unto me, Behold, I have begun to give Sihon and his land before thee. Begin to possess, that thou mayest inherit this land. Then Sihon came out against us, he and all his people, to fight at Jahaz. And the Lord our God delivered him before us, and we smote him and his sons and all his people.
So when Sihon came out against him, the Lord told Moses, All right, I've given him and his land to the Israelites. Now you go possess it. You go inherit his land. So when Sihon and his armies came out against him at Jahaz to fight them, the Lord delivered the people over to the Israelites. They defeated him, his sons, and all his people, and took possession of the land. And you'll find that that's the land that Reuben and Gad and the half-tribe of Manasseh took as their inheritance, that and Og and Bashan. Okay?
And we took all his cities at that time and utterly destroyed the men and the women and the little ones of every city. We left none to remain. Only the cattle we took for a prey unto ourselves and the spoil of the cities which we took.
See, people have a problem with that. Well, why would they kill the little children? Because evil reproduces.
Yeah.
Evil reproduces evil. You reproduce after your own kind. You understand? And so God dealt with it, utterly annihilated, utterly annihilated. Don't have mercy on evil. And see, this is what's going on right now. You get this tug of war with the Congress and Senate. No, they're not having, some of them won't have mercy on evil. No, you drive evil out.
Yeah.
You get it out, you eradicate it. Amen?
Amen.
All right, our time's up. We'll stop here. Father, I thank you that you bless us indeed, you enlarge our territory. Your hands with us to keep us from evil so that we do not cause pain. You bless us and keep us. You make your face to shine upon us. You're gracious unto us. You lift up your countenance upon us. You give us peace. The Lord, we invite you to rise up. Let your enemies be scattered. And those who hate you, flee before you. Amen.
Amen.
You guys be safe out there.
Yeah.
Okay?